As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
The Athletic.
Totally Football Show. Today, fringe players assemble. It's the FA Cup third round. We're looking forward to the return of the Weir Tyne Derby, Spurs trying to rekindle cup magic, and Arsenal-Liverpool, plus holders Manchester City in a fixture they once scored 10 goals in. All that and more in this Road to Neasden special Totally Football Show. Thursday, the 4th of January, 2024, and it's beginning to feel a lot like FA Cup third round weekend. Woohoo! Duncan Alexander, Charlie Eccleshare, and Adrian Clark are here with us.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hi. Happy New Year. Happy FA Cup third round weekend to all who celebrate. How do you mark FA Cup third round weekend, Adrian? What kind of traditions do you observe?
I don't have a tradition. No. I played in it, and slightly scarred by it.
Really?
Yeah.
Why were you slightly scarred by it?
One of my games was...
Is that the Sheffield United
Sheffield
one?
United, yeah. I missed a couple of good chances. A couple of good chances. Went a begging.
Oh.
Played quite well, but I missed a few chances. And
Nobody
then we
talks about that, hey? No. Miss a few chances.
Yeah. And then it went to a replay and we lost. So...
Wow, Adrian. Well, sorry to bring the FA Cup up then, but very much on the agenda.
It's a trigger warning.
Today, Duncan, you've got unhappy FA Cup memories as well.
Have I?
And fresh ones, because you're lot Wickham got done in round two by Sutton United. What's going on there?
Yeah, not good. Home to a struggling League Two team and crashed out, yeah. I kind of think my theory of the FA Cup is, obviously Wickham got to the semi-finals in 2001 and I think you have a certain amount of luck. I think Tottenham might be ready for a run soon. But yeah, I think I kind of accept us being bad in the FA Cup for maybe 50 years because getting to the semis was such a overachievement.
You'd rather have that than just like a few fourth rounds dotted around.
And you're off to Tottenham yourself, Charlie, as soon as we wrap this one up.
Yes.
You're off to have a pre-FA Cup clash with Burnley chat with Ange Postecoglou.
Exactly, yeah. Thursday ahead of a Friday night game.
Yeah. Is it on Friday?
Yeah, Spurs Burnley game's tomorrow night.
Okay. What, you get three questions. That's how it works.
Yeah, about that, yeah. Tends to be. So, yeah, in an ideal world. I mean, the big thing today is probably injuries.
So what are you going to ask him?
Well, depends what's been used up already. But the big topics, I guess, would be injuries. Mm. Is anyone going to be back? Mm. How seriously are you going to take the FA Cup? Because he heavily rotated for the Carabao, and that was... kind of the only time I think he's maybe been at odds with the fan base, though he kind of explained why. And then you'd have to ask him what are your earliest memories of the FA Cup?
Okay, nice.
And no doubt he'd have an amazing story of kind of hunkered down in the middle of the night with his old man watching Liverpool or whoever it was. I imagine we'll get some colour.
Nice. If somebody's asked those admittedly excellent questions already, will you feel kind of morally obliged to come up with three new ones, or will you just go, no, I'm fine?
Oh, definitely you feel morally obliged to come up with three questions. Right. Yeah, because it's just like a good opportunity.
Yeah.
What game do you reckon he's going to... I think he's going to go either a Luton-Liverpool FA Cup game.
Right.
Or the 88 FA Cup final. That's my guess.
Well, okay. He's born in 65. Mm. So I think it would be sort of mid-70s is most likely to be a kind of
sort of
formative,
like a Fulham West Ham, that kind of thing.
Maybe
final.
The 77 Cup final against United.
Could be. So I remember there was one a few years ago where Mourinho talked about, you know, his love for the FA Cup, and then we checked it and we're like, the dates just didn't stack up. There was no way he could have been watching that game, and I think we had to check it. And it was like, oh no, he meant another one. It wasn't just a kind of paying lip service to his love for the
FA
Cup.
What's your first? Mine's the City Spurs, actually. That's
City
the first
Spurs.
Memory of FA Cup final.
Really?
Wasn't it?
My first final that I watched was the Everton beating United Paul Rideout one.
Jeez.
I think the first third round I can remember properly is probably Sutton beating Coventry. Was that 89?
Yeah. Here's Dawson. Oh, and driven in! And number 11, Matthew Hanlon, followed that in. And Sutton have done it again from a corner kick.
And obviously, Coventry had only been a couple of years since being FA Cup winners, and they went to Sutton, who we've already mentioned, but when Sutton had a, you know, they were a plucky non-league team rather than a struggling League Two team, and Gander Green Lane, and then they beat top-flight Coventry.
Boom.
I do remember as well, in that 94-95 season, the semi-final between Everton and Spurs, which was the Daniel Amakachi, and they brought him on, and he wasn't meant to go on, there was some misunderstanding, he went on and scored two goals, and it was part of Spurs's... It is now part of Spurs' horrible run of FA Cup semi-finals. I think it's 8 they've lost that they've been in a row. Haven't been in a final since 91 Spurs. Mm. And at that time, they'd won more. By winning that, they'd won 8 more than anyone else.
And they were the FA Cup team, weren't they? That was what they did.
What a shame.
And now Arsenal got 14, is it?
Arsenal won 14, yeah. So they're way off now. And it was going to be, that 94-95 was meant, United were also on 8. And if Spurs had beaten Everton in that semi-final, it was going to be them against United for...
Time for 9.
Yeah, the outright winners of the FA Cup. Who can do it?
But if Spurs score 3 goals against Burnley, they'll go back into the lead as the all-time top-scoring FA Cup team.
So, is that right, Duncan?
Yeah. So they...
Who's currently ahead of them?
I can't remember. I think it's...
Really?
Yeah, I can't remember.
Maybe I'll put that to Ange.
Mm. Yeah.
What he does is he's got this thing where... I mean, he kind of... he's quite a natural contrarian.
Mm.
So if you point something out to him, he'll sort of shoot you down.
Right.
So I imagine
a natural contrarian? No, mate.
Which is kind of like, yeah, look is every answer. To the point I've now said when we're transcribing it, do we need to put the yeah looks or couldn't that sort of be taken as read? But yeah, I might suggest that and see if he says, no, actually, we're not. United have scored more than us.
Boom. All right, well, that's Friday, isn't it? Not even the first game of this round, because there's one on Thursday tonight as we record. The fixtures then for this third round, 64 sides, of course, involved. There are 44 teams from the Premier League and Championship, 10 from League One, 6 from League Two, and 4 of your plucky non-leaguers. The lowest place to which is Maidstone United, who are going to be... They're from the National League South these days. They're currently managed by George Ellacobi.
They are. Don't know a great deal about the current Maidstone setup.
No.
It is an artificial pitch. And they're playing one of my former clubs, aren't they? Stevenage.
Yeah. And who are they currently managed by?
Oh, Steve Evans. I know Steve him. Did you see his rant at the weekend?
I did not.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he is a very unlikable kind of chap. He is. Oh my goodness, he teed off a long run about Charles Breakspear labelling him...
Not a popular
rubbish. Labelling him rubbish on numerous occasions.
The other 3 non-league clubs involved, you've got Chesterfield, currently leading the National League. They're away at Watford. Aldershot, who've had quite a run of putting Football League sides out, they will take on West Bromwich Albion away. And Eastleigh... Also from the National League, they're away at Newport. None of those games on TV, of course, but feel free to go along. Mm-hmm. Your broadcast fixtures, sorry, Adrian.
I was going to say, West Brom, you might think they might be a bit nervous about this.
Do you think?
You're hosting a non-league side, you know, you're there to be shot down.
But down literally.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't even mean that. Their last 5 home FA Cup games against non-league teams, aggregate score, 26-0.
You're kidding.
So
what?
They're pretty good at this.
Four?
Yeah, they're very good.
Wow.
At seeing off the non-leaguer, so maybe the nothing baggies to worry about.
All right. Now, the games that are going to be broadcast, Thursday and Friday, those Premier League ties. So the Spurs-Burnley game on Friday. And before that, on Thursday, Crystal Palace against Everton. They're both on ITV and, you know, various
Everton
other...
who haven't won it since a young Charlie Eccleshare sort of pulled right out in his pomp.
On Saturday, also on ITV, you've got Sunderland-Newcastle. That's a big one.
Mm.
That's a big one. Also on Saturday and over on BBC, Borough, in the same neck of the woods, they take on Aston Villa. On Sunday, on the BBC, Arsenal-Liverpool. And then on Monday, Wigan Athletic against Manchester United back on ITV. There's a couple of other Premier League ties, Brentford against Wolves. And the holders, Manchester City, will be hosting Huddersfield Town. Ooh. Adrian, you've clearly been through these 32 fixtures. What leaps out at you? Do you want to go straight on to Sunderland-Newcastle?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the
right,
I think that's the juiciest game.
Juiciest. Mm. I hear you. Here we go.
This is the Totally Football Show, part of the Athletic Podcast Network.
Sound there of a recent Tyne Weird derby. This is a weird Tyne derby. It's the first one in almost 8 years. If you're Sunderland, what a time it is to be facing your moneyed neighbours, Newcastle. Eddie Howe's side lost 5 of their last 6 in the league. They also got knocked out of the Carabao Cup on penalties. They're conceding record XG as well, not just the Liverpool game, but against pretty much everybody. 2.9 against Everton, 2.8 against Bournemouth, 4.4 against Spurs, 4.9 against PSG. I mean, the list goes on.
Yeah, it's a dream scenario for Sunderland. It is a really awful draw for Newcastle. And we spoke earlier in the season about the importance of luck in football. And I do think, you know, things like cup draws, you know, when you're in that situation where already things aren't going for you and you just want a straightforward home draw and then you get a tie like this, it's really, I imagine, the last thing Eddie Howe would have wanted. It's a big test for them. And Sunderland will be relishing it.
Right. The supporters as well will be relishing it, huh? I mean, they'd rather have
the Sunderland fans, certainly. I don't know if, well...
Do you not think Newcastle fans would be... It's a long time since they've had a chance to do the neighbours.
But when you're in terrible form and you just need a pick-me-up, I don't know if they'd be desperate to have this game. Maybe some.
They're a bogey team as well.
Yeah.
They've not won Newcastle in the last 9 against Sunderland. So going back a long, long time. So it's not a fixture they've got recent good memories from. What I'll say about Sunderland is they've got dangerous players in forward areas. Jack Clarke is the main man.
Mm. I mean, formerly of Spurs.
Yeah. But he found a manager in Tony Mowbray that got him. And he has elevated himself sort of from... You know, a decent championship level player to pretty much the best championship player under him. And of course, Mowbray recently got sacked and Sunderland have dangled a new contract in front of him. And surprise, surprise, he said no.
Ooh.
Because, you know, you got rid of the guy that I really like working with. And I think a lot of Premier League clubs are interested in Jack Clarke. 12 goals this season. I think with Trippier out, Livramento will probably play there. That's the duel to look out for. Clarke against Livramento down that side. But he's not the only one. They've got some good young players.
Also, Joe Bellingham, though.
Yeah.
Jude's brother.
Yeah.
He just turned 18 a couple of months back.
And he's done pretty well.
Yeah.
He scored 4 goals. Like, a little bit like Jude Bellingham. They don't know where to play him. Mm. Is he a number 10? Is he a midfielder? Is he a striker? They've used him in all of those positions, but I think he'll probably play as a number 10 in this game. And yeah, look, he's got a knack of popping up inside the box to score goals. So yeah, look, it's a tough test for Newcastle.
The fact that they fired Tony Mowbray and brought in Michael Beale, the one who Rangers have binned off. Yeah. Okay. So the fact that all that happened... Mm. Are they not doing very well then?
Well, they had a bad start. They got thumped, I think, at home to Coventry, and they were booed off the pitch, which he had to apologise after his first match in charge. So zero honeymoon period for Michael Beale. But since then, they've recovered. They had a good win against Preston last time out at home. So, yeah, look, they're in the playoffs. They're a solid team. They kind of can't keep any centre-backs fit, so they're a little bit weak at the back. But they're good enough if they bring their A game to trouble Newcastle, for sure.
Right. Should be quite an atmosphere there.
I reckon.
At the stadium of
even for a 12.45.
Yeah, it's a shame. Yeah. It's, I mean, obviously. Right, yeah.
Understandable.
Yeah.
Look out for Luke O'Nine as well, who's a good player. We've been filling in at centre-half. He saved a dog recently. Was on the
he
beach.
Saved a dog?
Yeah, and the dog was drowning, Labrador, and he pumped it until seawater emerged from said hound. So, yeah, a black cat, but a dog hero.
That's a beautiful...
Where did this happen?
That's a beautiful story.
He's like a passerby, wasn't
yeah,
he?
Like, right. Yeah, he was just having a nice stroll on the beach.
And he saw, what, a Labrador in
trouble.
Difficulty.
Yeah. It was like, hello, is that a Labrador in trouble?
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
He ran into the sea.
I think maybe the dog had washed up onto the edge of the sea, but he was pumping, doing the old, you know.
At Wickham, he was. I remember I interviewed him at Wickham, and I had to do a scout report on him for a client, and so I followed him around for the day. And he's nicest man in the world. Like, he's the sort that basically stops and signs autographs and does selfies with every fan until basically they've all left.
They ask him
he's
to
an
stop,
interesting. Yeah. He can do, at Wickham, there was a clip of him, he did a Rubik's Cube in like 20 seconds while juggling a football, which again is...
Stop.
I mean, if you can combine that with
and
dog
saving
rescue.
Dogs.
Sorry, so, yeah?
Yeah.
You
he did a Rubik's Cube in 20 seconds while juggling a football.
Correct.
Juggling the football with his feet.
Yeah.
So keep
the
uppies.
Yeah,
keep
and
while...
saving a dog simultaneously.
No dog in that scenario.
That's extraordinary.
Yeah, so, you know.
He might be the most multi-talented man in football.
Could be, yeah.
That's mad.
Right.
Did he know you were following him around when you say you're following him around? No, stalking, hiding in
no, it was a funny story. It was a slightly amusing story because it was for a Singapore newspaper and he's half Singaporean. And the Singapore, they really wanted to recruit him to play for the national team. Right. And at the time, he was an eager beaver to sort of partake in this interview and sell himself to the Singaporeans. Hmm. And I filed a very positive scout report for them because he played well in the match that I saw, and they offered him the chance to play for the national team, to which he turned it down.
No.
Because you have to commit full citizenship to Singapore to represent the national team, and none of us were aware of this at the outset, and that would have just caused too much hassle. So
okay,
yeah, there you go.
Wow. All right, Newcastle Sunderland. Who's got Sunderland? Sunderland, Newcastle, I should say. Sunderland, Adrian, you
I'm going to go for a shock here. I think they're capable, yeah.
Don't know. Do we?
I think Newcastle might just about have enough.
Mm.
Okay, there's still replays, right, this year?
There are still replays in the third and fourth
there
round.
There are, which I think is really interesting because I reckon, you know, we talked about Newcastle in when they were kind of, will they go out of the Champions League, but they could stay in the Europa League, and they just went hell for leather. I wonder if we might see some Premier League teams doing that this weekend because replays, they just won't, to winter up, these winter breaks have been so carefully planned, they're so important. I think you might see teams thinking, sod this, let's just either lose or win, basically, but we do not want to replay.
If they don't win, it's how will be under a bit of pressure from his own supporters, won't he? Because at the moment, the fans are totally on board with Howe, aren't they? I think
there is still they think
it's more like the owners might be a little bit wavery.
Yeah, I think that's probably the bigger concern.
Yeah, but you know, going out of the cup,
if they go out and it's a kind of limp display. It's the kind of game that can change perceptions, a local derby, and that's why again I think it's a really big tough draw.
Ooh. All right. That's Newcastle's trip to Sunderland, which is Saturday lunchtime. The following day, the other standout fixture of this third round, which is Arsenal-Liverpool. We'll get onto that next.
For most of us, January means New Year's resolutions. But for the footballing world, January means one thing: transfers. The window is back open and that sound you can hear is managers frantically compiling their wish lists and agents tapping on their phones trying to get a good deal, while the rest of us wait for the next David Ornstein newsflash. There's a lot going on, and to stay on top of every move that matters, you need the Athletic Football Podcast.
They were prioritising somebody like Mason Mount, Ilkay Gundogan was in the mix.
5 days a week, we'll help you cut through the noise with the most reliable reporters in the industry. David Ornstein, Adam Crafton, Laurie Whitwell and many more will not only tell you what the deal is, but how it happened too. So make sure you don't miss a single transfer beat in January with the Athletic Football Podcast. Listen for free wherever you get your shows and hit follow and subscribe so you don't miss a single episode.
We're sponsored for this episode of The Totally Football Show by Shopify.
Shopify is the global commerce platform helping you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. It's your perfect teammate, the Sutton to your Shearer, the Heskey to your Owen, the Mane and Firmino to your Salah. Whether you're selling I Belong to Jimbo t-shirts or Max and Barry half and half scars, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, which is up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms. Plus, you can sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. And what's more, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 support is there to help your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Now, because you listen to The Totally Football Show, you can sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/totally, all in lowercase. So go to shopify.com/totally to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. That's shopify.com/totally.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
This is the Totally Football Show, part of the Athletic Podcast Network. The Athletic is the only place you can read articles by Daniel Taylor, Amy Lawrence, Phil Hay, James Pearce, Ollie Kay, and the very best football writers around.
Arsenal-Liverpool, Sunday at 4:30 on the BBC. Faced each other last month in the Premier League. It was 1-1. That was at Anfield. They're going to face each other in February too. That seems like a lot of Arsenal-Liverpool clashes. And spare a thought for football supporters in 1980 who had to contend with not only Thatcher's Britain, but also four Arsenal-Liverpool clashes in 19 days in what was arguably what was the longest semi-final ever played in the competition, probably.
Probably not. I mean, there probably is a stat out there.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's something you argue.
The most replays you ever had was six, but I think
That wasn't a semi-final. No. Arsenal had five games against Sheffield Wednesday.
Oh, did they? All right.
That wasn't a semi-final.
Not
either,
a semi-final.
I mean, it does seem baffling to the modern mind that you just keep going, you know. And then they'd like, wouldn't they toss coins to see where, after you've done a one each, you then toss the coin, you know.
Who got to host the next
one? Then sometimes they do like a neutral.
Well, no, because they were on neutral ground in those days, the semi-finals, of course. So
no, I'm just talking about replays in general.
Oh, replays in general, you know, right, yeah.
And penalty shootout's just not a thing then.
Wasn't
when did the penalty shootout come
out? I think the first one in a semi-final was the Liverpool-Portsmouth one, I think. Was that?
Quite possibly. But I mean, penalty shootouts were around before
penalty
then,
shootouts
but they
came
weren't...
into football in 1970.
Because Panenka is in the 70s, isn't it?
Yes. The first European Cup one was at Everton in like 1970-ish. Mm. But yeah, the FA Cup was a bastion of tradition held right. out.
But I mean, there could be, if this game's a draw, then there's another game. So that would be four games between these two in a little over a month.
3 months.
Well, six weeks, because it's right at the beginning of February.
Oh, I see.
The first game was late December.
Yeah,
it would be a very, I mean, you do get that from time to time.
I mean, it reminds me of talking to Spurs as well, that early 1999, them and Wimbledon, they played Premier League, FA Cup, League Cup, FA Cup, League Cup. So that's five games in the space of a month.
Yeah.
That must have been brutal.
Can we play you every week?
Yeah.
Yes. Literally.
So having to play that, you know, Wimbledon over and over again. In January 2004, Arsenal and Middlesbrough played each other four times in the Premier League, two League Cup semis. The two legs of the League Cup semis and the FA Cup.
Wow.
So three competitions.
It's too much.
Games, one
it's not good. It's not baseball where that's the point you play a team.
What happens as well is that the sort of battlegrounds really get drawn and you get these individual duels. Where footballers have long memories anyway, okay? A lot of footballers that I played with and against would remember the time that player nobbled them a year ago and they would seek revenge. But obviously when everything's so much fresher, it can make the games certainly a lot more feisty.
So what feistiness do you think will be lingering over from the clash towards the end of December, the 1-1 draw at Anfield?
No, I don't think that. I can't remember too much going on in that game. I mean, there's a bit of resentment from Arsenal's end about the state of the pitch. clearly Liverpool's players had different studs on to Arsenal's.
They'll dry it out as payback for that wet pitch.
Yeah, I would love it if Arsenal were to enter into sort of similar levels of shithousery ahead of this one. Just for giggles, really. But really? Yeah, but they shouldn't need to do that. You know, they should be able to go out there and win the game. It's a big game. I mean, big game for
Arsenal.
Do
you feel they're the better side than Adrian?
Well, not on recent form. Mm. No, on recent form, Liverpool are stronger. But yeah, I think Arsenal are as good as Liverpool. And in a way, it's a more important game, I think, for Arsenal this time around. This Arsenal team needs a trophy. Mm. I think that much is clear. Liverpool, there's less pressure on that. They've achieved trophies already
Arteta's already won this competition.
He has, but a lot of these players weren't involved.
Yeah, that was a weird team and 4 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. Also, Liverpool.
Is it 4 years now?
Yeah.
COVID final.
I mean, Liverpool also have a League Cup semi-final just after this. So even in the immediate term. Mm. But I think with that, like, what rivalries lingering over? I mean, Trent, I always feel he likes playing against Arsenal. There's a bit of needle there. You remember with Xhaka, the pushing and shoving last season. Obviously, he and Trent was brilliant in that game in December, but missed that big chance. Zinchenko, big game for him. Mm. I mean, obviously, no Salah this time.
Will Zinchenko be fit?
Well, it wasn't thought to be serious what he was out with, but he is often carrying things. So I guess.
Well, look, one thing I think you can almost guarantee here is that Arsenal will go strong. I think there is absolutely no reason for them to rest players. They don't have a game until
Arteta never rest players anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I mean, for cup games, you know, that he has, but not here. I think Arsenal need a confidence-boosting performance because that was their worst by some distance against Fulham. Really disappointing. They have to bounce back. They have to show the fans that they've got a plan B, that they've got a bit more variety to their game. I think he plays the A team.
And it kind of exposes, though, I think the biggest issue Arsenal have, people fixate with Arsenal on the need for a striker or whatever. The problem they have is the kind of backup front three. Their backup front three is Trossard and Nketiah and Reece Nelson. That is not a particular, like, their first choice front three is really, really good. And I know people at the moment are saying they're a bit off form. Yeah, maybe they are a bit off form, but that's because they can never be rested. Because there aren't those alternatives, both from the start, but even midway through a game. You need a goal. Let's say, you know, 60 minutes. We saw it at Anfield. You're weakening quite substantially your starting 11 with your changes. Not so much Trossard, but those other two are just a way off Jesus and Saka.
And that's where Liverpool have been so strong this season.
Totally.
They can bring on, you know, it could be Gakpo and Nunes, it could be whoever. And
Same with City. They both of those two teams have a kind of rotating carousel of six really good forwards. Mm. Arsenal just don't have that.
Mm. I can accept that. I just think that from a tactical point of view, Arsenal need to mix it up. They've become a little bit too samey. Maybe not. This is the type of game that won't be a factor because it will be attacking. Liverpool will come at Arsenal. Arsenal will go at Liverpool. It's when Arsenal come up against the sort of lower block teams that they're being sort of double marked at the moment. They've got to find a different way. I think this game might suit Arsenal, and I expect it to be an absolute belter.
Excellent. Will Gabriel Jesus be available?
I hope so.
Good.
Yeah, and if he is, I think he's got to play. And this is the other thing about this striker search. If Arsenal were to get a number nine this month, and I don't know, they have to be creative to make it happen. But if they were to get one, it then gives them the option to use Jesus as a wide forward as well. And because I want Jesus in the team.
Jesus is absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
I think it's a bit like if a goalkeeper plays out and makes one error, everyone's going to go mad at him because it's so unconventional. With Jesus, because he doesn't score loads of goals, it's very easy, unless you watch him and the team closely, to ignore the unbelievably good things he does. Mm. Like, I find the way Jesus is he's so strong. He puts in such a shift. He's brilliant at linking things up. He just isn't a prolific goal scorer, which is fine. And that's why you need other players to kind of
Arsenal had last season.
Exactly. It didn't matter. Yeah. You know, when Jesus came into the team and Arsenal won 12 out of their first 14 games to go top, Jesus was the best player in that team. That was top of the league by a distance. You just need the other players to step up, which they're not. I think as well, something that hasn't really been mentioned is with Arsenal, because Declan Rice has been so good, but Thomas Partey being out is just a massive loss for them. He is so important. I think because he tailed off a bit at the back end last season, kind of forgotten how good he was in the first half. And again, he was crucial to them. And you talk about something different, just having someone who can play those progressive passes from deeper areas. I think otherwise Arsenal can, as we saw against Fulham, they're just passing it side to side and it's so much easier to defend.
Mm. Alrighty. Liverpool, of course, without Mo Salah, but, you know. other options are available. So we'll see how that all pans out. 4:30 Sunday afternoon. Arsenal will be turning out in an all-white kit for the third year running in the FA Cup third round. This is to raise awareness of the No More Red campaign to tackle youth violence. That's an excellent initiative. Although I imagine those shirts, will they still say Visit Rwanda on the sleeve?
I think, but you can barely read anything that's on it, even the number and the name. But yeah, they probably do. I can't remember. But yeah, it even stretches to the match day show, of which I'm on, the Breakdown
Live. Are you going to be wearing?
I've been told to wear non, definitely don't wear red. And right. You know, if I can wear white, wear it. I'm not going to wear a white trouser, though. I think that's taking it too far, isn't it? Yeah.
Really? Yeah. Oh, that's Liverpool's thing in the FA Cup, isn't it?
Yeah. Of course it is, yeah.
Cream.
Cream, fair. Excellent. All right, what else then this weekend? You've got the holders, Manchester City, taking on Darren Moore's Huddersfield. A fixture that will remind fans of City's 10-1 victory.
It's White. The 10th is there for the taking. It's going to be a hat-trick for David White. And 10 for Manchester City.
Last time an English team scored 10 in a game.
Is that right? Is that the last time? Oh, this is November 1987. It was in the second tier back at Main Road. 10-1 against Huddersfield. What was number one back then? You Win Again by the Bee Gees.
Not for Huddersfield. Yeah.
So little time, we do nothing but compete, Bee Gees sang. And unfortunately, Huddersfield just didn't. Will they this time?
Also no.
Really? They've got, I mean, it sounds like a tall order, not just because of the precedents, but they have a manager who has defied the odds in spectacular fashion in other knockout games of late. And I'm thinking, of course, of Sheffield Wednesday against Peterborough.
Yeah, Darren Moore, yeah, he's in charge of Huddersfield. They are a really defensive team. Ah. They kind of... I think they might play 5-5-0 in this game. They had two up front in the last game, but both were wingers. So I'd imagine it could be like a strikerless formation. They have very little possession. Against Leicester, which was their last match, they had about 25-26% of the ball. Ooh. So here against Manchester City, I don't know, has anyone ever had 90% of possession in a game?
No.
We could get towards that level. It could be 85 upwards.
I think 84-ish is the highest I've ever seen.
Really? It wouldn't surprise me if that got broken.
Wow, look out for that.
Magic of the Cup.
Do you remember that 10-1, anyone?
I remember seeing the goals on St. Greaves and being really excited, because even at a young age, I realised that 10 in a game. Yeah. I didn't think I'd still be here now waiting for it.
Yeah, waiting
for it. You've been told then.
Yeah. Jamie Vardy's going to do what against Southampton? Give up?
Also on Sunday, you've got West Brom facing Aldershot. Adrian, you already told us all about that. You didn't mention the fact that Shot's manager, Tommy Widdrington, formerly of Southampton, has a son who's a dancer on Strictly. Mm-hmm.
Apparently so. Yeah, I'm not an avid viewer, but yeah.
Okay. He's called Kai, apparently.
That's correct.
I wonder if the Strictly fans don't quite see what he's bringing to the performance, but yeah.
What? It's gone over my head.
Kai Havertz.
Explain.
It's a Kai Havertz reference.
Oh, Havertz, right, okay.
Yeah. Is he a misunderstood dancer?
Yeah, exactly.
West find a role for him.
Yeah. West Ham.
Just waltzing through defences.
West Ham, Bristol City. That's on Sunday as well, I think.
Yeah.
Could be intriguing or not, given the way West Ham were on Tuesday against Brighton.
I think it could, because Kudus is out.
Okay.
And Pakatar is out, injured. Mm. So that's two of the magic three. So it just leaves Bowen. And you saw against Brighton, they weren't quite as effective, West Ham. So
first team this season not to score against the Seagulls.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, yeah. They're still a decent team, Brighton. But yeah, no, there's a chance here for Bristol City. I saw them recently at Hull. I like the manager. Liam Manning is their manager. He did a brilliant job at MK Dons. He also did well at Oxford and was poached earlier this season for Bristol City. And I saw him, I spoke to him after the game, and he's impressive. He's kind of understated, but clearly a really bright coach. Mm. And what he wants from his team is a little bit of bravery, a little bit of sort of adventure. So I think they'll go for it.
Okay, nice.
That is a very 38-year-old EFL manager phrase book, though, isn't it?
Yeah. And he's got a guy that you know very well, Memesi.
And it's Memesi, yeah. The Albanian Messi.
He's very he truly exciting.
Is. Yeah, he's a good player. And he's actually he's come into the team since Manning took over. I think they've become a lot more progressive, and I think that was kind of why they made the change, as they were pretty functional under Pearson. And, you know, Bristol City, there's a piece in The Athletic this week about the biggest, who are the biggest club never to win a major trophy.
Is it Bristol City?
Well, I think Palace and Fulham have got, perhaps Watford have got a bigger shout, but Bristol City obviously haven't been in the top flight for quite a while, and, you know, eventually you think they will get up.
I think they're the biggest club never to play in the Premier League.
Got to be. Yeah.
I think it's them or Preston.
Well, Bristol's certainly the biggest town not never to have.
It's a really good stadium they've got now. You know, they're ready, but they've got a very young team, and they're not. I mean, they've got a very rich owner, but the owner has pumped a lot of money into the infrastructure around it, and now the question is he going to put the money into the team again. And yeah, at the moment that he's not working with a great deal. He's working with a lot of promising young players, Liam Manning. But okay, should be a good cup tie.
He began his managerial career with young players at West Ham, doing the under-23s for the Hammers.
Yeah, he did.
That was a while back.
Yeah.
Very good. Also in action this weekend, Spurs, as Charlie was mentioning earlier on, last year's runners-up Man United will be off at Wigan. That's on Monday night. And other things too. We'll touch on some of those things next.
If your New Year's resolution for 2024 was to find the best Newcastle United podcast on the planet, then boy, do we have a treat for you. I'm Taylor Payne, host of Pod on the Tyne, The Athletic's dedicated Toon podcast. Twice a week, I'm joined by the Brains Trust of George Corgan and Chris Woff as they bring you everything you need to know from in and around St James Park. You won't get this kind of coverage anywhere else. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify and all the usual places, and make sure to hit follow and subscribe so you don't miss a single episode.
This episode is supported by Season 3 of FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League 2 after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the city's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher division. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenges and rise again into League 1? FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres May 2nd on FX. Stream on Hulu.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You're listening to The Totally Football Show with James Richardson, the Football Content Awards International Podcast of the Year.
Ooh, don't look now, Nottingham Forest fans, but there's talk of another points penalty in the air in the Premier League. And Forest, not surprisingly, having signed, 42 players since the start of last season, are reportedly at most risk of being charged for a breach of the Premier League's financial fair play rules. Ooh. Everton also, there's talk of possibly a second penalty for them, but no further word on that.
Keep taking 10 points off Everton just as they get out of the relegation zone. Just keep it interesting.
Wasn't it the Brennan Johnson sale to Spurs, actually, is their big argument here. That I think Forrest is saying, look, we did all we can to get within the permitted limits by selling him at the last minute.
Right, but it was beyond the last minute, I think, is the issue. They sold him on the 31st and it was the 30th.
Yeah, I think there is a period where they fell foul of the rules. It depends how strictly that the authorities want to...
Well, judging by the Everton precedent...
Yeah. Everton had it the other way round with it because they sold Richarlison in window end of June, and they felt they didn't get as much as they could have or should have done if they'd done what Forrest had done and waited 2 months or 3 months.
Everton's appeal against the 10 points.
2 months.
What kind of time frame is there on that?
Not sure. Update is on that.
Yeah, it could happen any time.
Or not.
Well, I mean, what we don't want What we don't want is summer plans
inconsistency.
To be affected.
Yeah.
What I did read was that there will be a decision by April on this. So a punishment, if there is one, will be meted out this season.
Mm.
So, you know, Forest fans have got to hope.
Good.
Goes their way.
That's something I'm sure you touched on Football Cliches. Meted.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
It's the only time you'll ever use
it. Yeah, absolutely. It's quite an odd one, that.
Yeah.
Meted out. Mm. You rarely hear it these days.
Yeah, unless in this context.
Mm. But even then.
Really?
I'm not sure. I've used it myself in years. I don't know where it came from.
Yeah.
Handed out is more common, I'd say now.
Yeah.
Handed.
Slapped with a...
Yeah, that's another one. I think meted was very much le mot juste. Middlesbrough taking on Aston Villa. Oh, we should mention that Forest host Blackpool Sunday in the FA Cup. Tangerines currently boasting the talents of Jordan Rhodes, who producer Charlie nominates top scorer in League One. Well, the figures kind of back him up for that. Is he good, Adrian?
Well, he's
arguably top scorer in League One.
He can score goals. But like, he's not at his peak. I think he's past his best. But yeah, Blackpool are a very attacking side. So
right.
I think they'll take it to Forest. Whether they're good enough or not, we'll have to wait and see.
We will. Similar story for Borough Aston Villa, which is the second managerial meeting between Michael Carrick and Unai Emery. Can you remember the first?
Well, it must have been in that December 2021 period where
Carrick did a few
games. Champions League late group stage.
It was Sevilla in the Champions League, yeah. Oh, sorry, Villarreal. Villarreal in the Champions League, and Carrick's Man United won 2-0 away there at the
Yes, I do remember that. Yeah, Sancho either scored or was involved in a kind of counter-attack second, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
All right, it was Villarreal who went on to reach the semis. Emery, who was in charge, of course, of the Yellow Submarines that day, has a real reputation as a cup manager, not least for his exploits in the Europa League, but his domestic cup record with Villa reads a surprising played three, lost all three. Last season, he was in charge when Villa got done by League Two Stevenage.
Mm. Yeah, they've lost in this third round for five straight seasons.
Really?
Aston Villa, yeah. So they're kind of due a cup run. I've got to say, Borough at the moment are a little bit light on bodies. They've got so many players injured at the minute. They're not going to meet Middlesbrough at their best, in my opinion.
Borough also have themselves a League Cup semi-final coming up next week.
Yeah, so yeah, I would imagine being in the semi-final, they would prioritise that, wouldn't they? Yeah, they pick the strongest available players there. So yeah, I think Carrick might have to rotate here, and he doesn't have a lot to play with anyway. So I think Villa have got a great chance of progressing.
Really?
I don't think it'll be a big priority, the FA Cup, for either team this season. I feel like Villa, you know, they'll prioritise the league run and they're in Europe as well. They'll prioritise the league and they're in Europe as well. But yeah, you'd expect them to get through this one.
What about Crystal Palace, Everton, Duncan, Hodgson, Dyche? That's all.
Yeah. Well, as Charlie mentioned earlier, Everton, they could do with something to take the mind off the points deduction. And it's, again, like Spurs, a long time since they... I was just thinking Villa, you know, a team with, people will say, great FA Cup history, but they've won it seven times, which sounds good. But six of those came before 1920. So, you know, and I think... Yeah, Palace, again, another team that have got to the final a couple of times, lost to Manchester United. So I think it's kind of that eternal thing, isn't it, where some Premier League teams will sort of sack off these games. But if you can get to the final and win it, it's actually pretty good.
If you can get to the FA Cup final and win it,
why not? Elise is the boy, isn't he, with Palace?
Well, isn't he? Yeah. I thought is he not injured?
I think he's going to miss this game. But I know that he's been talked about with the move to Manchester United. I think, it sounds ridiculous, but I think he could find a better team than Manchester United. He could go even better than that, at least. I think he's
brilliant.
I think
he's
brilliant. Yeah, class act.
All right, United themselves will be away at Wigan on Monday night. Wigan are currently playing in League One. Their manager, Sean Maloney... Again, producer Charlie citing the wonderful goal he scored for Wigan against United.
Oh, Maloney might just get his shot away. He does! Sean Maloney and Wigan are rewarded for their excellent effort so far.
It was in that run when it looked like United had the league sewn up, and then they dropped those points. That game, they drew with Everton and they lost to City to kind of let City back in. lovely goal, curling from the edge of the box.
Mm, excellent. Well, he won't be on the field this time around.
It's the Martial derby, you know that?
Is it?
Yeah, Anthony Martial, obviously, for Man United. Don't know if he'll be fit, probably not. But they've got a Martial of their own. Martial Endo.
Oh, okay, not related.
No. Right. Martial Godo, he's on loan from Fulham, left back. But he's doing really well. I think he scored three, got three assists in only 11 starts. So look, it's a banana skin type game, isn't it, for Manchester United? Wigan aren't brilliant, I've got to say.
They're not.
They're sort of lower mid-table in League One. They're
but not they've had a points deduction.
So. Yeah, but they're not in great form.
They try and play it in the right way. They get it down.
So. They've got loads of well-known forwards or some players that you might know. Charlie White, do you remember him? He's a good Josh McGuinness from Northern Ireland. Callum McManaman is even still there.
He's still there.
Well, he's gone back there.
Right. Yeah. The Callum McManaman final of 2013.
That's it. Yeah. So there'll be a few players that you recognise.
Was it?
Oh, he was brilliant that day. Yeah.
Was he?
Yeah. He kind of was it Zabaleta who got sent off? He just couldn't. He couldn't deal with him. And more recently as well, I mean, they beat Manchester City 2018, I think it was, when City were going for the quadruple at the time.
Yeah, I was training all or nothing.
Yeah.
The only bit of drama in the
yeah,
all
yeah, exactly. They've got pedigree for beating Manchester clubs in recent times in the FA Cup.
Very nice. Very nice. Monday night. We'll see if they can do it.
Ooh, I've got a stat on Monday night.
Okay.
Yeah. Duncan might know this, but for fans of day of the week football. Yeah.
Okay.
Right,
why don't you ask him? See how deep
it.
Duncan
is. Do you know this? You're across this?
I don't know.
Wow. Well,
don't know what you're
going to say. Wigan have won their last five FA Cup games played on a Monday night. There you go.
Coincidence? I don't think so.
I don't think so. That's
why
they
love it on
a
Monday
night.
They love
it.
They do.
Under the lights of JJB.
Yeah.
Rest of the week to come.
All right. Well then, Charlie, so that I'm not sure we've set you up enough for your chat with Ange ahead of Burnley, the game there. He'll be asked, I'm sure, about how much the Spurs fans want a cup run because, as you were pointing out, they were the most successful FA Cup side and now they're most certainly not.
It does feel overdue and it has been a bit of a sticking point in recent years. I mean, it was one of the very few things that some fans disagreed with Pochettino about.
Yeah.
Pochettino, understandably, you know, given at that time they had a smaller budget, smaller squad than their rivals, and they were going for the league, the Champions League, and getting top four was so important, you know, to Spurs' kind of short-term future.
Mm.
But the perception was that he didn't really care about the Cups and, you know, would play weekend teams, et cetera, et cetera. There are still some team selections he made that winds Spurs fans up. He played Michel Vorm, who's the second choice keeper in the last time Spurs got to the semi-final of the FA Cup. He didn't play great. He played Son at left wing back the previous year against Chelsea. He played a completely rotated team against Colchester in the League Cup a couple of months before he was sacked.
Right. I mean, the good news is that Ange Postecoglou
can't really rotate. Well, genuinely. And you know, they've got then 9 days before they play United.
Right.
And then 2 weeks after that, before their next league game anyway. So it's not like they're in a massively congested period. They do have injuries, obviously, but they've got players coming back. So I think he should and will go pretty strong.
Okay. If they do go deep in this competition, will they do another cup single, another FA Cup song, do you think?
Who knows?
Those have gone out of fashion a bit, haven't they?
Really. I think Wigan might be the last team to have done one when they got to final.
And how did theirs go, Duncan?
I can't remember. I mean, come on, there's a limit.
I'm from Wigan, me. I'm honest as can be. No, I'm not one to tell a lie. Cross my heart, hope to die.
I think that might be...
No, Arsenal did one in 2014.
Did they?
Yeah, really bad one. With players involved. Yeah.
That's the thing, you don't really get the player buying.
I seem to remember like Mertesacker... sort of giving it some.
BFG, right. Was that mentioned?
I don't know if it was mentioned in the song.
Okay, I'm not sure that that was their FA Cup song, by the way. So Latix fans, if I've gone with the wrong Wigan song. But it features Dave Whelan on the chorus.
Well, that's,
so
yeah.
I feel like it probably is. But okay, so apart from Spurs, who obviously had brilliant FA Cup songs, courtesy of Chaz and Dave most notably.
Yeah.
Who, yeah, but yeah.
Yeah, what's,
Manchester United had a few. Come on, you Reds, with Status Quo.
Oh, with Quo, yeah. Why was that?
That was 90.
Was that the 94 one?
Yeah, I think so.
Right.
Then Arsenal, why your remember agent did
I think one of Status Quo was a Man United fan.
Okay.
Your sort of era.
I can't remember it.
I think what we've lost is players in that era. It was really exciting for them, you know, to go and go into a recording studio, to go on Top of the Pops.
Wear a suit.
Was it though? Because I remember, was it John Barnes talking about World in Motion? And like, he basically said they were offered the chance to take part in it.
Yeah.
And like, four of them turned up.
Yeah.
And like, everyone else went to the pub.
And that was with New Order.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there's a bit in Peter Hook's book about the day they're actually recording the song. And I think it was Gazza, Beardsley, a few others that were there, John Barnes.
And they had a rap off, didn't they?
And the players were already hammered and they didn't even want to sing. So a lot of the England in the background that you think is the players is actually the members of New Order doing it. So, yeah. But it was a fun day out for players, whereas I don't think now, you know.
Not a fun day out.
But it should be brought back.
Fun should be
put in their
back.
Contracts, doesn't it? If we get to a.
I mean, Wickham once recorded The Wanderer, you know, that song.
Yeah.
Before...
Dion.
Huh?
I think it was Dion.
Anyway, I can't remember. It was before a Wembley appearance.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about Dion, the Wanderer. They call me The Wanderer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
By Dion, I think.
Is it? The reason I ask it is because they weren't allowed to release it because Michael Jackson owned the rights to it.
What? And Dion, The Wanderer, yeah.
Wow, yeah.
1961.
Well, it was subsequently snapped up.
By Michael Jackson?
Yeah, and he wouldn't allow the song to be released. Jeez. So maybe that's another...
There's no statue of Michael Jackson outside Wickham's ground, whatever it's called.
No, I can confirm.
Or of Dion.
No.
Sadly, I was going to say, Adrian.
We did have Dion Dublin
on
loan,
so maybe. I was just going to say, Duncan was talking about how much fun it was. I know it didn't turn out the best for you, but did you look forward to those FA Cup fixtures? Did you?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely. It was particularly when I went down the leagues and I played for sort of Southend and I went to the National League with Stevenage and whatnot. It was real buzz, and the games were always played at a faster tempo. It really was like a cup final. There was an extra 5 or 10% that every team involved in it seemed to find in a cup game. Believe it or not, you have bigger crowds in the lower down you go when it gets to FA Cup than you do in league games. It mattered more, and I did love playing in them. Just never had those memorable runs, unfortunately.
What was the biggest club you ever drew when you were in the
when I was at Margate, we played Cardiff City.
Did you?
Yeah, right. I played Cardiff City. That was quite good. Gave them a run for their money, but in the end, got beat in the second half, I think. 3-0 or 3-1. So yeah, nothing too major.
When you're in those O League teams playing against them, what do you, because sometimes it can be hard to pick out exactly what it is that separates.
Yeah.
Kind of the what was it for you that sort of stood out?
Yeah, movement, I think. Yeah, when you play against a team that's clearly better than you, suddenly, you know, it's the way they shift the ball quickly, and then you've got players popping up in different positions on the back of your shoulder, players rotating positions. That was the big thing that I used to notice against the better teams, and it was the way they knocked the ball around, really. Because I mean, things have changed a little bit now, but if you're in the National League when I was playing, there wasn't a great deal of possession football, and you saw a clear difference there. One, we would be pretty direct; they would be the opposite, and they could tie you in knots if you weren't on it.
Wow!
There you go.
Message there for any of the plucky sides looking to spark an upset this weekend: mete out some punishment, perhaps.
Get physical. Make it a scrap. That's always the message.
Is it? Okay. Yeah. Very good. Love yourself, Adrian. Thank you so much.
Yeah, my pleasure.
For today. And Duncan and Charlie, also producer Charlie. And Liam, also there in the booth, getting this ready for our YouTube channel. That's right, the Totally Football Show. So many subscribers, so many. Tuning in to see how the magic happens. Mm. There'll be more magic on the way.
Is there still magic?
I think there always is. If you believe, a little magic can... happen possibly. In your life, Duncan. I certainly feel that way about Sunday's show. I think we're doing Sunday night. Is that right? Producer Charlie's nodding. We'll be rounding up all the FA Cup action up to that point, fresh off the back of Arsenal-Liverpool. So, yeah, do join us for that. For now, from all of us here, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to The Totally Football Show, part of the Athletic Podcast Network. Discover bonus video content by searching for The Totally Football Show on YouTube and see the very latest subscription offers at theathletic.com/totally.
The Athletic.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.